Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. I'm excited about having Stephen Shapiro back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Stephen is an expert and professional speaker on the topics of creativity and innovation. And as you know, in our small businesses, we have to be very innovative and very creative. And sometimes we're not all that good at it. And so we have to work on it all the time. I know I do. And he's also the author of Goal Free Living, How to Have the Life You Want Now. And he's been with us before, and we're glad to have him back. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Jim, it's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back. I want you to take a moment and remind the audience of what you mean when you say goal-free living.
Well, goal-free living busts the myth that you need goals in order to be successful and happy in life. And what I found after traveling around the world and interviewing hundreds of people and doing a number of different studies, I found that, in fact, the most passionate, the most creative, and often the most successful people don't have goals the way most people have goals. They have a completely different relationship to them. They're free from the burden of goals. So it's not about not having any. It's having a completely different mindset when it comes to relating to goals.
Are you saying that what we do is we get so focused on things that we predetermined that we don't realize that maybe what we predetermined isn't actually, not only is it maybe not realistic, it may not be what we really should have, that we should allow the world to be a little more involved in our future? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the issues with goals is that too often we get laser focused on where we're going, and we believe that the goal that we set is, in fact, the goal we want. But the problem is, when we set goals that are more than a handful of days into the future, mm-hmm. they're based on faulty information. We do not have enough data points. We do not have enough facts, especially when it comes to our personal lives. We have, you know, just not enough data points to be able to say this is really the right direction to go. Mm-hmm. In the business world, everything's changing so fast that whatever goal you set for yourself is going to have to change anyway.
Well, I like one of the things you say in your book about using a compass and not a map. And basically what you're saying is, I know I want to go west, but it's not clear to me whether I should be going due west or maybe west by northwest or west by southwest.
Exactly. I call this meandering with purpose. Essentially, what you want to do, you need a sense of direction. I mean, because I like to say that being goal-free is different than being goal-less.
Right.
Goal-less is sitting on your butt eating bonbons watching Jerry Springer. We're not talking about that. But being goal-free means you have a sense of direction, not a specific destination, and then you meander with purpose, which means you take steps forward, and every time you come to a fork on the road, you make a new decision. And so you're not going in a linear fashion, but in fact, as you experience and gather new data, you change direction often, and you end up in unpredictable places, and it mm-hmm. actually tends to be better and more successful, and if nothing else, it's something you enjoy more.
One of the things that I think about for myself is what I call meeting the world halfway. And that's where I basically just, I make sure that I meet the world at least at the middle of the, in the middle of the road, and find out what it offers. But I'll go halfway because I think I know which direction I want to go in. I think I know what I want to do. I want to know, you know, I've got on my mind something, I have something on my mind that I want to do, but I always allow for what the world might present to me when I get halfway.
I think that's fantastic, because what you're doing is engaging others in what gets you excited and the things that you think are probably the right things to do. And I believe the more you engage others, first of all, you gather more information. Sometimes it's misinformation, but mm-hmm. you gather more information. And then from all of that, you can make decisions. But what also happens in the process of doing that is, as you meet people, they may have ideas or they may have connections. And I really believe the most successful people are the people who leverage a large network of people. And in order to do that, you have to be open to lots of different connections coming together.
Well, the And the other thing about meeting the world halfway is that there are people in that world who have been where you want to go.
Absolutely.
And what was the wizard's name? Merlin.
Merlin.
They're your Merlins. They've come from the future, haven't they? And if you're open to what they have to say about where they've been, which is where you want to go, you can save a lot of heartache and miss an opportunity to not lose so much money. That's one of the things that we have to focus on in small business, is not losing too much money. Stand by. Quick break. We're going to be right back with Stephen Shapiro. He's going to help us a little bit more with our creativity and innovation right after these messages. He's the author of Go Free Living, How to Have the Life You Want Now. 20 till. Stay with us. Bit of heart for you there. That's Ann Wilson. She used to could knock it out. Welcome back. It's 17 till. She's not. I don't think she has the pipes these days that she did. Who does, right? But she had them at one time. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Be sure to use it to your advantage. Check it out when you get a chance. And you can also go back and listen to past interviews that I've done with our friend Stephen Shapiro in the past. And he's the author of Go Free Living. And we're talking about how to use... I really like, Stephen, the way you say use a compass, not a map. Don't plot your every single, you know, this is not like, your life is not like going to grandmother's, you know, over the river and through the woods, where you have to take the certain route or you're not going to get there. And, you know, the world is coming. I really believe that the world should have at least 50% of your future plans in it. You should be paying attention to those, because the world is telling you things. The people who are coming from the future, and there are people out there like that. My mentors, Stephen, were people that I consider to be my Merlins. They were coming from the future. They were reaching back to me from the future. They'd already been where I wanted to go, and I was listening to them. What do you think?
Well, I think that's great. I mean, you want mentors, you want mastermind groups, you want different advisors. I think the only caution I would give with taking advice from people is everybody sees the world in a different way, and everybody has a limited set of experiences and perspectives based on what happened to them. And so you may have an idea, and you may have something that's really creative. I would take what people say, but I wouldn't accept it as the truth, because what I found is there's a lot of naysayers out there, mm-hmm. when in fact you can find different creative solutions to almost any problem. And essentially, Goal Free Living is about being creative about everything you do every moment.
Well, one of the things you do with the Merlins of your life, the mentors of your life, is not, you know, I think you're right. You have to be careful about asking for advice, because that might not be the best thing for them. You observe them and where they are, and you say, okay, I see where they are. That's where I want to go, but I want it to be a little bit different. Or you ask them, what did they learn? Don't ask them, what do you think I should do? Maybe just ask them, what did you learn when you were there?
It certainly can hurt. I mean, these are all data points. And the great thing about being creative, and I love the quote from Steve Jobs from Apple Computer, is that creativity is just having enough dots to connect. Mm-hmm. And so I just view, whether it's your mentor or friends or business peers, any data they give you are just dots. And you can connect those dots in whatever way you want, but you can also choose to look at them in different ways. One of the things which I found with a lot of people who are successful is if you ask them what made them successful, they are quite often missing the thing that really truly made them successful. For example, I've gone to conferences with best-selling authors, and they promise you in these conferences that they're going to give you the secrets to becoming a best-selling author.
Right.
And they've had thousands of people go through this, yet no one in the audience ever becomes a best-selling author. The reason is the people who are presenting it believe they know what made them successful, when in fact they only have a preconceived notion, and they can only think about the activities and probably are missing the one leverage point that made the biggest difference.
Do you think creativity is alive and well in the marketplace today, or do you think it's not?
I would have to say it's both. I think there are some companies that are embracing it and doing more with it. I think individuals are becoming more creative because they're given the opportunity to, and I do think as there are more entrepreneurial organizations, they value innovation more. I do see in large corporations there still is a fair amount of lip service when it comes to creativity and innovation. For example, I know that a lot of companies send people out on creativity training, which gets them all pumped up and jazzed up, and they're thinking differently and excited, and they come back to the organization and they're just met with this wall of resistance, and that creativity training actually created disillusioned people because they don't have an environment to express their creative juices now.
To me, the most creative parts of the marketplace are in small businesses.
Because absolutely.
We don't have to answer to the quarterly report to the Wall Street analysts.
I think small businesses, private businesses also, in my first book, 24/7 Innovation, I talk extensively about Koch Industries, K-O-C-H, out of Wichita, Kansas. Now, they are actually the largest privately held company in the world with almost $80 billion in revenue. But I do believe they are wildly creative for exactly the reason that you describe, is that they don't have to report quarterly earnings. And as a result, they've been able to grow about 10 times faster than the S&P 500 consistently over the last 40 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the things that I worry about about the larger marketplace, the macro marketplace, Stephen, is that the stock analysts have gotten control of the marketplace, and big companies are afraid to take chances, and therefore their managers are afraid to take risks, because if they make a mistake, they're going to pay for it in 90 days or less.
I do believe that's true. I think part of the issue becomes what I like to refer to as the frost layer. I do believe, which is sort of that middle management level, and I think that's the problem with layers, is I think the people at the top, the CEO, the president, and you know the top executives, really do see the need to change. They understand it. The people who are at the bottom, if you want to call it that, who are closest to the issues, working with the customers on a day-to-day basis, see the need for change. The problem is there's this thing in the middle that stops the great ideas from leadership coming
that
down
wall.
And the great concepts going up, and that's the frost layer. I think that's actually the biggest issue.
I think you're right. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, I'm going to get Stephen to help us take a goalaholic quiz. He actually has one in his book. It's called the Goalaholic Quiz. Are you a goalaholic? And believe it or not, your goals might be holding you back. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Stephen Shapiro is our guest. His book is Goal Free Living. Mr. Lindsey Buckingham, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, how
one man, one guitar. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. We're visiting with Stephen Shapiro. He says we can call him Steve, but that's S-T-E-P-H-E-N-M, initial M, Shapiro. And the book is called Go Free Living. Steve, tell us where the book's available, please.
It should be available most places. Easiest, of course, is Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com.
Right. You want to give us your website, too, please?
Sure. The website is goalfree, GOALFREE.com.
How do we determine if we're goalaholics?
Well, there is a quiz on the website with 10 simple questions that really gets you to look at, you know, how are you relating to goals? Again, goals aren't necessarily bad, but the question is, do you find yourself saying that I will be happy when? You know, and one of the things which I found is that 58% of the population is consciously and willingly sacrificing their happiness today in the belief that when they achieve their goals, they'll be happier. Unfortunately, my studies also show that almost half the population say that when they achieve their goals, and keep in mind most people fail, when they achieve their goals, over half the population are actually dissatisfied and disillusioned,
right,
because all of the hard work that they put in didn't justify the end result, and the goal wasn't really the one they wanted. So,
it's anticlimactic, and they because they didn't have take any joy in getting there. Because they focused so much on being there, when they got there, it wasn't what they wanted, and they've had these months or these years that almost seem wasted.
Exactly. And they didn't take into account that there was new information as they took each day forward, each step forward. There are new ideas all around them that they could use to formulate new creative concepts that could take them in new directions, and they completely ignored them because they were marching down this particular path. There's another issue with goals I'd just like to point out, because I think it's really the interesting thing, is it's not just about finding new opportunities, but it's also, let's say you do have a goal and you're clear this is the goal you want, whether it's a business or an individual. One of the things which I've found over and over is that people who try to achieve their goals are less likely to achieve them.
Hmm.
What happens is we create stress when we try too hard. You know, and the simplest example is if you think about a person who's trying to sell you. That's just a very simple example, but if somebody's trying to sell you, you will almost never buy from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I did an experiment once where we looked at people who tried to sell versus people who tried to sell customers, and we found the people who tried to serve the customers were the ones who sold the most, not the people who were trying to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And we found the same thing in almost every area of life, whether it be wanting to be in a relationship and trying too hard, to sports. We did this study in a sports team and found that when we timed people and they thought they were being timed in motorsports and race cars and pit crews, they actually went slower when they were being timed than when we told them, don't give it 100%, be present to what you're doing.
It took the pressure off of them.
Faster when you're not trying and you feel like you're going slower. It's this bizarre paradox.
Well, it takes the pressure off of you, too.
It takes the pressure off. I mean, it's like if you're driving down the road and you hit a patch of black ice, what happens instinctively is we tense up.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process of tensing up, we're trying to control the car. We think we're a better driver, but in fact, we're a much worse driver at that point. So if you can be completely relaxed and present and not worrying about trying to control everything, you actually are much more successful, you have a lot more fun at it, and you create greater opportunities in the process.
Well, small business owners really need to learn how to live in the moment more than they do. And I tell them that it's wonderful, it's fine, it's just fine to say, okay, you know, this is the goal I want. I want to be successful. I want to have two outlets for my business. I want to have 20 employees, whatever it is. But don't forget that it's pretty darn cool that what you've done so far, just to be able to anticipate, just to be able to think about being able to take that next step, that's a success story in itself, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have an article which people may be interested in that's on the website called Compass Driven Strategic Planning, which is really about how can small businesses be more adaptable and nimble by using the concept of a compass, not a map.
Right. Well said. And I like that idea, folks. Think about that. Think about following your dream with a compass more than with a map. And you can find more about that in the Goal Free Living book by Stephen M. Shapiro. Stephen, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll see you next time.
Jim, thanks so much. This was great.
It's always good to have you with us. You're welcome anytime. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every member of our military standing a post on our behalf around the world. God bless you. God be with you, everyone. And don't forget, what I always say, always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.